right-hand side for Vieira, who'll play it through to Gabriel Jesus, who's in here for Arsenal. Gabriel Jesus to finish it off. Oh, what a way to do it! Gabriel Jesus seals the points for Arsenal. He's back, and he's back with a bang.
Into the penalty area it goes. Gabriel header, and it's into the back of the net. Arsenal take an early lead through Gabriel.
Listening to the Chronicles of Aguna, the daily Arsenal podcast with me, Harry Simeon.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Saturday. How's it going? It's North London Derby Day tomorrow. And the stress has kicked in. The anxiety has kicked in. I haven't had a very good night's sleep. And I suspect that tonight's sleep is probably going to be even worse. Even more broken up because of how big this North London derby is. Now, this is a game that means everything to us as supporters. There's no doubt about that. It's the game that you look for when the fixtures come out. It's the game that you look at and think, oh, I need to be quite pumped and ready for this one. I've grown up in North London. So for me, I've got Spurs fans in and around me everywhere I turn. I go to the shop at the end of the road. If I'm wearing anything Arsenal, someone will make a comment. Vice versa. In this area, if you're wearing something Tottenham, you'll probably get a comment from an Arsenal fan. This is a rivalry that you just can't escape. This is a rivalry that is right on our doorstep. And this is one that I believe has intensified more and more, actually, over the years have gone on. When I first got into football, when I first started following and supporting the Arsenal, Tottenham were irrelevant. That's the truth of it. Tottenham were a side that, you know, might have a little bit of a run here and there in a cup competition, but we're never going to compete for the Premier League. We're never really going to win the FA Cup either, to be honest with you. At that point, it was kind of League Cup or nothing for Tottenham Hotspur. Now, over the years, that gap between the two sides, not in terms of trophy count, but it has closed in that Tottenham Hotspur, particularly under Maurizio Pochettino, began to compete for a top four spot regularly. Arsenal started to lose their grip on those spaces as well at that time, and that kind of coincided. And the rivalry as a result became more and more intense and closer. We're at a point now where Arsenal are challenging for the Premier League title and Tottenham are pushing for a Champions League spot. So although we're not quite in the same bracket in terms of what we're looking for from the remainder of the season, there is plenty to play for both. And of course, Tottenham Hotspur are a good enough side that we should pay them the respect that they deserve. And we've got every right to be feeling physically sick before this game, is what I would say to that. Let me say a few hellos because there's loads of you in the live chat. Good to see you guys. Thank you, as always, for joining me bright on early on a Saturday morning. It's not a normal time. For us to live stream, but we're doing it anyway. Appreciate those of you that have adjusted your plans to be with us. I put a poll in the chat. Who's going to win the North London Derby? What's the result going to be? What's the outcome going to be? And the three options are obviously Tottenham win, draw, and Arsenal win. Guna73 in the chat says, I'm not clicking on that poll. If I click win, I'm worried that I'll curse it. And I obviously can't vote lose or draw. If you've got it in you to vote, then please do, because I'm interested to see how you guys are feeling. Big hello to Hacker, to Super Mick Arteta. We've got Mafia Boss Jr. is with us as well. Jid2, Osuo says, good morning, Harry. I think this is another 3 points in the bag. Junior says, remember, Harry, it's Mother's Day soon and you owe your mum for bailing you out with the kids a few days ago. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what I'd do without my mum bailing me out. Yeah, I'm a massive man child, really. Good morning to Andy. We've got Chris as well, who says, hey, Harry, good morning. Would like your take on if we should sweep in for Rashford. In my opinion, Arsenal is not a church, nor is Arteta an alchemist. I like Rashford, but can we afford another project player? And he's gone for 5-0 to the Arsenal tomorrow. Bloody hell. We'll come back to the Rashford thing later. I'll put a star on that one so that it prompts me to come back to it. Joey says, morning, Harry and fellow Gooners. I'm up unwillingly at 5:30 this morning. At least I've got you lot to spend my time with. Good to see you, mate. And yeah, I had one of those mornings as well where I was like, I've had a really, really busy Friday and it was really, really busy. And by the time I got home last night, I was absolutely shattered. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to sleep in a bit tomorrow because I'm working on a game later today for BBC London Sport. And then I am on the TalkSport breakfast show tomorrow morning, which means I have to leave my house at about 5 a.m. And then I'm going to come back, freshen up and go straight to the North London Derby. And then after the North London Derby, we'll be bringing you reaction on the Chronicles of Aguna. I'll be doing the 90 Min show, Sunday night edition. So I figured I needed a bit of a rest today, at least this morning anyway. I needed a bit of time to kind of recharge the batteries. And I too, like you, Joey, ended up waking up way too early and I found it impossible to get back to sleep. This is what the derby will do to you. Mario says, morning all. And of course, main man Harry, Odegaard, Partey, Rice play. We will win this game. It will be tough. I don't think they will play like they do. But if they do, if that is the case, we'll pick them off in spaces. What else have you got? Claudius says, Spurs were very fortunate when we played them at the Emirates. Vieira was playing left eight. There was no Martinelli or Trossard. And I'm sure Nketiah started up front. I can't remember, without checking, I can't remember exactly what the lineup was that day. But I actually thought we were quite poor in the reverse fixture. I actually thought that if anyone probably edged it, it might have even been them. And I don't like saying that, but that was how I felt coming away from the game. Ayoku joins us from Canada, where it's 3:40 a.m. Welcome, my friend. What are you doing up at that hour? Is it work? Is it kids? It could be either of those two things. Are you just finding it difficult to sleep like me because of what's coming up tomorrow afternoon? Oh, all right. Let's talk a little bit about, first of all, what Mikel Arteta's had to say in the pre-match press conference. He gave this press conference to the media yesterday, and he was asked, as you'd expect, lots of questions about the title race, and he was asked how he feels about our title chances. This is what he said. We are there. We have to look at ourselves and try to perform in the best possible way to win our matches. And I can't wait to see what happens. That's what we discuss. It sounds a bit repetitive, but that's what we have to do. He was asked whether it's a two-horse race. Of course, Liverpool, in a lot of people's eyes, dropped out of contention the other night when they lost the Merseyside derby. I can understand why people think that, because when you look at the standards that Manchester City have set over the last few years, there is no margin for error. And that's why when we lost to Aston Villa, our only defeat of 2024, by the way, it felt like the end of the world. We feel like that because we've been conditioned to feel like that because of the standards that that team have set over the years. And you know that if you want to finish above them, you've got to be at that level. There is no margin for error. But when you look at the points, when you look at how many games are left, I think it's disrespectful to rule Liverpool out of this title race. He was asked how pleased he's been with April. He said, look, it's been great. Not just the results, but the performances as well. We had a big one in the last London derby against Chelsea. And now we have another big one. I'm sure if we're going to do it, we're going to have to beat Spurs as well. He was asked about how much tougher the squad is this season. He said, look, availability, as we've mentioned before, is something key. It's true that apart from Jurrien, we're going to be very close to having everybody available. And that's a huge boost. That elevates the training sessions, the competition between the players, and to pick the right lineup to, and gives you the ability, I should say, to pick the right lineup to change the game. It's really important. He was asked about our schedule in comparison to Spurs. Obviously, Spurs haven't played for a little while, but he did say, Mikel Arteta, that we're going to be fully ready. We've had a bit of time as well to recover and prepare for the Chelsea game, from the Chelsea game. I'm sure the team is going to be fully ready to go again on Sunday. So no excuses from Mikel Arteta about the schedule, about the way that the fixtures have panned out. And considering some people say that he is literally a carbon copy of Pep Guardiola, I'm really surprised he hasn't come out to talk about tiredness. Yeah, I mean, he must have forgotten to pick up on that part. He's been asked about selection headaches. He says, yes, it's a good headache. Of course it is. He was really impressed with Ange Postecoglou's job so far. He said that he's been following him for a little while, that there's a really clear direction and identity with regards to how his teams play. He says that he's been really, really good. There was lots of talk about Kai Havertz. Obviously, Kai Havertz, you know, I think over the last few months has proven to people that really kind of questioned and doubted the decision to bring him in that they were wrong. And, you know, Mikel Arteta didn't sit there and take the credit for this decision. He said that it was a collective club effort. He said it wasn't my decision. It was our decision. We were super aligned with the club's vision. And then obviously on the sporting side, we made a recommendation. A lot of people were involved, and then you need the ownership to back you as well and make these things happen. We were very convinced that they were characters first, and that they were players with the right qualities to fit within our model, our club. And sometimes it takes a bit of time. That's inevitable. Sometimes you're going to make mistakes. I try to minimize them, and I try to at least generate the environment and everything that the players need to fulfill their potential. So Mikel Arteta, you know, saying that it was inevitable that Kai Havertz was probably going to take a little bit of time. And I do believe, and I'm sure you guys will agree, that the move to centre forward has been massive for him. We've heard a lot this season about this ridiculous supercomputer, which gives Arsenal a 26.6% chance of winning the title right now. Mikel Arteta said, I don't know what to say. Hopefully we can trick the computer and make it a bit higher. Maybe it needs to update the software. He was basically making a bit of a laugh and joke about it. He was asked whether the result at Tottenham 2 years ago, of course, we were in the hunt for top four that night when we arrived at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium and we were beaten quite comprehensively. He was asked whether that was a low point for him. Mikel Arteta very cleverly said, my memory's failing me. I'm more focused on the last one. That's more positive. And I love that. I love that kind of answer. He was asked whether Jurrien Timber is going to be available for the game. Jurrien Timber, of course, was in action on Monday night for the under-21s. Scored a banger of a goal as well in that game. Mikel said, we have to make that decision tomorrow after the training session. He's very close, but I don't know if this has come around too early. He is very, very close now. He was asked about, you know, Postecoglou's tactics. Will he change them? Will he tweak them? And that leads me on to a really important talking point, I think, because one of the things I've said about Spurs this season, when I've been asked to pass comment on them on other shows or whatever, is that I think they've got the right principles underpinned. I think that people keep talking about the Tottenham way, whatever that is. And that it consists of playing exciting, attacking football, the kind of football that gets the fans in the door, that gets the punters in, if you like, that people can identify to. And Ange Postecoglou has done that. He's brought that. He's brought that feel-good factor, particularly at the start of the season. I thought that was really kind of clear. And it was like Ange mania, wasn't it? The whole league was looking at Tottenham and thinking, bloody hell, like nobody was, well, nobody serious. There were some people, but nobody serious was predicting them as title contenders. But people were looking at it and going, how has this guy come in and made such a big difference in such a short space of time? And does it highlight and shine a light on maybe how toxic things were at Tottenham Hotspur by the end of the Antonio Conte sort of tenure? Which I think, yeah, is an accurate way of sort of assessing what Spurs were going through and where they've come to. I do think, though, over the course of the season, when it comes to Ange Postecoglou's side, things have leveled out a little bit in that it was attack, attack, attack at the beginning and everybody loved it and they were blowing most teams away and they were on this incredible run of form. And then I always remember that game against Chelsea at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium where it just felt like Spurs hit a brick wall. They lost at the time to a really poor Chelsea side, actually. Nicholas Jackson, who people have been talking about loads recently, as a striker that isn't able to apply the finishing touch, isn't as cold in front of goal as he needs to be to succeed at this level. And Chelsea went there and absolutely battered Spurs. And it could have been more. If Chelsea had their shooting boots on, if they were more ruthless, it could have been a lot more. And that highlighted, I think, not a crack, not a problem, but maybe a slight shortcoming when it comes to the application of the Ange way and the insistence on never veering away from that. Because I know a lot of Spurs fans, friends of mine, who came away from that game thinking, okay, this is the way we want to play. This is the way we want to do things. But when we went down to nine men, we could have found a way of nicking a draw had we just been a little bit more defensively resolute. We'd have needed probably a bit of luck along the way, but Chelsea certainly aren't the ruthless operators that maybe Manchester City are, or that Arsenal have become, or that Liverpool are, or whatever, generally speaking. So I know a lot of Spurs fans came away from that game thinking, look, this is all well and good playing this way and we love it and it's enjoyable and it's exciting. But I think a lot of them at that point went, okay, but what are you going to do when we come up against opposition that can slice through us, particularly in situations where we're up against difficult circumstances, i.e. we've lost a player or we don't have our best players available. And Spurs went on to have some injury problems off of that, off of the back of that game. And the level, it dropped quite significantly. Now, I'm not saying that Ange Postecoglou hasn't done a good job or that Ange Postecoglou doesn't deserve praise for what he's been able to do. I think when you look at where Spurs were, the fact that they're in the race for the Champions League spots going into the last few games, I don't think they're going to make it, by the way. But I think that does tell you that, they are on the right path. They're on the right track. I think there's a big question now going into this derby as to whether or not he comes out and says, guys, we're going to play our way. We're going to go for Arsenal. We're going to play the high line. We're going to high press. Or if he looks at Arsenal, looks at their strengths, looks at the way that they were able to expose Chelsea, who also tried to play on the front foot, and goes, okay, I'm not saying that we change our principles. I'm not saying that we change our ideas moving forward and in the bigger picture. But on this occasion, in order to be competitive, we're going to have to tweak it a bit. And I always wonder how that goes down with players, because I think if I were a player, I'd like to think I'd be realistic about where my team are at, where I'm at as an individual. And I think there would be games and there would be circumstances where actually slightly tweaking the approach is probably justified and maybe needed. And so I'm really, really fascinated to see what Tottenham are going to do. I know how we're going to approach this game. I know that Mikel Arteta is a big believer in the impact of atmospheres, in the impact that crowds can have on games. And I think he will be instructing his players to go out there nice and early, be confident, play their game, strut their stuff. And the more we keep hold of the ball, the more we look confident, the more we look like we're not in any danger, and the less risks we take, I think, in the early stages of the game, the more that starts to show to the Tottenham Hotspur faithful that actually Arsenal are here and they mean business. And no matter how good an atmosphere is, no matter how good a set of fans claim to be in terms of their vocal support, when you're feeling nervous, it's really, really tough to generate an atmosphere. I know that from experience. The games where I'm most nervous, when I'm in the stands, I'm not singing, I'm not chanting, I'm standing there biting my nails and panicking and worrying about every single action and every single movement. So I think if you can go there and show Tottenham that you're really confident and that you believe in your own game and that you're going to take the game to them, I think a lot of people will go into their shells, not just on the pitch, but off it, which then has an impact on the atmosphere, which I think helps our cause when it comes to trying to take 3 points here. Spurs will leave spaces. Spurs do leave gaps. We could leave gaps too if we're overly aggressive in the way that we press. And we know that they are probably going to try and work the channels, given that Saliba and Gabriel are going to try and push up. It's going to be interesting to see, whether Spurs try and pull those two guys out of position. And that's where the fullbacks' roles come into it and are really, really important. And my team selection, which I'm going to share with you in a bit, is reflective of that and takes that into consideration. But yeah, I mean, there's no reason as an Arsenal fan not to feel confident. We are the better side. We've got lots and lots to play for, more than Tottenham have to play for. And listen, this is our moment and we've got to go out there and seize it. You know, we've got to go out there and make another statement victory. And if we do, we can sit back after the game and we can watch Manchester City travel to Nottingham Forest, the side who are in desperate need of points, and yeah, there'll be disappointment if they manage to get the victory because you're running out of games and you need them to drop bloody points at some point. But what you also do is you're able to process whatever the outcome is there without feeling any regret about your role in it. And I think disappointment is much easier to process and to live with and to cope with when you know that you did all that you can. And so Arsenal need to go out and win this game. They need to. It'll be a real, real shame if we were to draw, for example, and then City were to go and draw. That wouldn't be a disaster because you'd still be going into the last few games in the same situation, needing Manchester City to drop points, needing them to drop 2 points somewhere between now and the end of the season. But it would feel like a real opportunity missed. And I feel like if we have that disappointment of an opportunity missed, that could be enough to tip the balance even more so in City's favour. Because I think confidence at this point in the season is a really fragile thing. I think it can either be sky high and up here, or it can be really low. And I think when you know that the games are running out, any little setback, it can have a lasting effect. Now, Arsenal have proven to us this season already that they can bounce back from disappointments. They did it when they dropped points against Aston Villa. The following Premier League game, they went up to Molineux and they won. They weren't great, but they got the job done. Arsenal know that they do have it in them these days to go out and grind results. In the past, you looked at Arsenal teams and you went, brilliant side, fantastic, free-flowing footballing side. When it's all going great, it's great, but my God, when it's not, they look soft-centered. They're unable to dig in. They're unable to grind out results. I don't feel like that about this Arsenal team, but I do feel like with the games running out, we just have to win every single game. And if we get over the line as a result of that, then what an achievement that would be to play 18 games in 2024, win 16, draw one and lose one would be some return. And we'd be worthy winners of the Premier League. Equally, if Manchester City win all their remaining games, you look at the points tally that they're going to finish on, you look at the run that they've been on since around about December, and you'd have to say that they too are worthy winners. So the margins are so fine. They're so, so fine. I was at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium yesterday for some filming with Premier League Productions. I have to say, I was raised by a Greek family who believe in when you go to somebody's house, you take a gift, you take something, you know, whether that be a bunch of flowers, a box of chocolates, a glass of wine, a bottle of wine, maybe even some food. You know, I spent the night before in the kitchen preparing a tray of lasagna, but when I got to the door, for some reason, don't know why, it was confiscated from me. But yeah, didn't even get to take it home and eat it myself. But yeah, look, it's an incredible stadium. I was standing right in front of that. Is it the South Stand? I think it is, where it's all one tier. And you can see why they can generate a really electric atmosphere at that place. And they will try before the game to get behind their side and make it as difficult for us as possible. But I really do feel like we have what it takes, given the way that we play, given the characters that we have in the group, to go there and not silence that crowd, but certainly to reduce the volume that they're outputting and producing. And if we can do that, I really do think it makes it just a football match and it levels the playing field. Because in a derby, particularly in your home derby, you're looking at the crowd, aren't you, to give you that extra bit of edge and that extra bit of something that you need maybe to go on and win it. Let's have a look at some of the PremierLeague.com statistics ahead of this one. Hold on a second. Let's share the screen with you guys. I am trying to get faster at this stuff. I'm not very good at it. There we go. Head to head. In the Premier League, 63 matches between these two sides. Arsenal lead the way with 9 more wins than Tottenham in the Premier League era, 24. Tottenham with 15, and there's been 24 draws along the way. If you go back to the game earlier this season, back in September, it was a 2-2 draw at the Emirates Stadium. Go back to last season, we won 2-0 on the 15th of January at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium after beating them 3-1 at home earlier in that season. And if you go back to the campaign before, it was a case of the home side coming out on top. Spurs beating us 3-0 in that damaging defeat on the 12th of May 2022. And in the September of that season, we were 3-1 winners. So if you look back over the last five results, there have been three Arsenal victories, one Tottenham win and a draw. If we take this on to the form guide, Arsenal have won four of their last five, just that defeat to Aston Villa, sandwiched in between two victories either side, Luton and Brighton. Comfortable wins, 2-0 and 3-0. We won at Wolves by 2-0, and we beat Chelsea, obviously, 5-0. Spurs' last outing, which was a little while ago now, I beg your pardon, was a drubbing at the hands of Newcastle. They did beat Nottingham Forest at home before that. They were held to a 1-1 draw at West Ham. They did narrowly beat Luton Town, and they were defeated at Fulham. So I guess if you want to look at, you know, where the two teams are at, I know that it's a derby, and some people will say, well, form guide means nothing and it goes out the window. They've had some heavy defeats against Newcastle and Fulham. Granted, both of those were away from home, but they looked so soft-centered in those games. And that should give Arsenal confidence. You look at the Forest game, they won that one by 3-1. But if you look at the Luton game in particular, if we're focusing solely on those recent fixtures, they weren't very convincing in that. Not at all. And so Luton and Forest have both been to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium recently and shown that you can cause them issues and you can cause them problems. So why shouldn't we be confident going there this weekend? Season so far, Spurs are in fifth. We are top as it stands. 18 wins for them, 24 for us. They've had six draws. We've had five. They've lost eight times. We've lost five. Average goal score per match, Arsenal nearly on 2.5 per game. Spurs just over two, so they do have goals in them. Average goals conceded per match, though, this is the real big difference. Spurs concede on average 1.5 goals per game. Arsenal are less than one on 0.76. We've had 10 more clean sheets this season than Ange Postecoglou's side, 16 to their 6. When it comes to chances created, and I always tell you be wary of this because I don't have a clue how the Premier League work it out, though, Tottenham seem to create more, apparently. Anyway, top player statistics, the leading goal scorer in the Premier League across these two sides is Heung-min Son with 15, Bukayo Saka just one behind him on 14, and Kai Havertz, you know that guy that was a complete waste of money? He is in third on 11. When it comes to assists, you've got Bukayo Saka and Heung-min Son joint top in that one, which is interesting. Saka on 9, Son on 9. Odegaard comes in behind them on 8. It's weird with Odegaard because he creates so much for this Arsenal team, but this season I feel like it hasn't translated into assists. And I know that people are going to look at that because we're in a generation where people only look at stats, but do not let that fool you with regards to how impactful and important he has been to this Arsenal team. Again, this season, he's just a superb, superb player. When it comes to tackles, Pedro Porro leads the way on 82. Declan Rice is in second on 73, and Yves Bissouma comes in third on 72. Right, so I've been having to think about the team that I would pick. There's a couple of debates for me. Who plays at left back? Who plays in midfield? And who plays on the left wing? We keep talking about those three positions as the ones that are always, normally up for grabs in that side. They're obviously positions that Mikel Arteta feels more confident rotating in than some of the others. That's probably to do with the personnel that he has available to sort of call off the bench. But the team I'd go with is the same one that played against Chelsea the other night. Raya in goal, White, Saliba, Gabriel and Tomiyasu across the back. Partey, Rice and Odegaard, the midfield that we'd all been waiting to see for so bloody long, that tore Chelsea apart, that had incredible physical presence, that defensively did a really wonderful job, but that also allowed us to break lines so quickly and get the likes of Havertz and Odegaard, Saka and Trossard on the ball nice and early and put them in situations from which they caused Chelsea plenty of damage. And then up front, like, how can you not continue and persist with Kai Havertz up front? Like, you just can't leave him out of this team. Like, unless there's a problem, unless there's something that we don't know about, he needs to be starting this game because he's just been fantastic. He's been really impactful both in the build-up, defensively from set pieces, offensively from set pieces, and he scored another couple of goals the other day as well, which means his confidence will be sky high. Leandro Trossard, listen, I've questioned at times whether or not he's better from the bench, whether he's just that type of player that is more effective when he gets thrown in at a certain game state and is able to go on and impact the game that way. But again, form dictates that he's got to play. He scored the opener against Chelsea. He scored the opener against Wolves. He's just popped up with some really important goals throughout the course of the season. He's a clinical finisher, and I really, really want to see him in the starting lineup. It's harsh on Gabriel Martinelli, who I think probably has a part to play in this game at some point because of how he stretches teams and his running power. But I just think in a game like this, you know, I'm at the point now where I'm not calling for Martinelli to start because Trossard has done so much that he deserves that opportunity. Some would argue, as Oisin does in the chat, that maybe Martinelli's running power and ability to sort of pin fullbacks back could help us in dealing with maybe Pedro Porro. Whoever plays on that left-hand side is going to have to do plenty of defensive work. But the reason I want to see Partey and Rice in that midfield is that if we do see that Spurs are creating overloads on that left-hand side and that Tomiyasu is having to live with a winger but also a fullback coming forward, having Partey in the middle gives you that flexibility to say, okay, Declan, you go out there and you support a little bit on that left-hand side. And that's why last season I thought our midfield was so effective when Partey, Xhaka and Odegaard were all fit, because Partey, and he's not quite there yet in terms of full fitness, but Partey was strong enough on his own to say to Granit Xhaka at certain points in a game or when we were dealing with particular threats, go out and support the left back. Go out and support the left winger. It's why we were able to carry Oleksandr Zinchenko's lack of defensive ability throughout most of last season. I'd argue that in the end it caught up with us, but you know, that's the difference between having somebody like Thomas Partey in the midfield and not having Thomas Partey in the midfield. So that's my starting 11 to face Tottenham tomorrow. Let me just run you through that one more time for those of you listening on audio. Raya in goal, White, Saliba, Gabriel and Tomiyasu across the back, Partey, Rice and Odegaard in midfield, Saka, Trossard and Havertz in attack. Have you got any questions? Get them in. We'll take as many of those as we possibly can before we sign out. I've got a couple that were sent through on X, which I want to touch on as well. So get those in now. Let's take this one from Jid, who says, seeing your lineup, if you were to make one change that wasn't Tommy or Trossard, what would it be? I mean, I'm not massively against Jorginho playing in midfield. You know, I think that Jorginho is someone that's been really helpful to us this season. I'd argue that away from home against Spurs, you want Partey more than Jorginho. But if Jorginho was named in the starting 11 for any reason, I'm not going to be sitting there going, oh, what a disaster. He had a bit of a disaster game in the reverse fixture earlier in the season. But Jorginho, for me, has shown over the course of the season that he can be trusted. So that would probably be the one that I'd maybe make. Everything else, though, for me, has to stay like that. That is the best Arsenal team available to us right now, in my opinion. And that's what I'd go with. Z says, hey, Harry, good morning. In your opinion, based on Arsenal's record at the stadium, how they perform, etc., which one is the harder fixture for Arsenal? Are you talking about Old Trafford as well? Talking about Man United and Arsenal? I think they're both tough games, man. I really, really do. I'm just kind of hoping that maybe Manchester United, Man United are not going to win a Champions League position. I'm just maybe hoping that they look at it and they go, well, we don't want to be in the Conference League, or, you know, maybe results go. It's difficult to know how the results are going to go, but I don't think that United want Man City to win it particularly. I don't think that they want Liverpool to win it. I think we're kind of the lesser of the three evils, if that makes sense. Not suggesting anyone's going to lay down apart from Spurs when they play Man City. I really think that's going to happen. Anyway, what else have we got in the live chat? Owen says, keep the winning team, super subs, Jesus and Martinelli. Yeah, I mean, the ability to bring this level of player off the bench is so key, isn't it, in terms of getting you over the line in games. And that's why it's really important that we have these players available now at this point. Benny says, would you keep Partey for next season? He's definitely better than Jorginho, but the best ability is availability. It's a tough one, isn't it? Because if you'd have asked me this 3 weeks ago, I'd have been saying, no way. At the end of the season, you got to let him go. You got to move on from Thomas Partey. You've got to find the next version of Thomas Partey, if you like. And he's such a good player that that's not going to be easy to do. But I'd have said to you, no, it's time to cut your losses, time to move on from him. If Thomas Partey has a really massive part in a run-in that then sees us go on and win the Premier League title, how are you going to feel about just letting him go or trying to get like a very sort of minimal amount of money for him in the summer? I guess you need to be ruthless. I guess you need to be able to make those decisions when they come in order for you to do really, really well as a team and as a club and to constantly, well, you're not going to get everything right, but to get as much right as you possibly can. But yeah, I mean, I'd be tempted if he's to stay fit for the remainder of the season and keep showing what he showed against Chelsea, I'd be tempted to say, let him go into the final year of his contract then. Don't sell him now. Let him go into the final year of his contract. And I'd imagine that by the time that contract comes to an end, we'd be in a position to go out and get someone who can come in and fulfill that role. At the end of the day, guys, and this is the thing I keep saying to people, how much do you think that we're going to get for Thomas Partey in the summer if we were to let him go, given the injury issues that he's had? You know, you're probably going to be lucky if you get 10 million for Thomas Partey. And that's not reflective of his quality as a player. That's because he's had injury problems for the best part of three seasons now. He's not at an age where a club's going to drop a big amount of money on him and be willing to take that gamble or risk. Thomas Partey's probably going to be quite content with that as well, because I would argue that whatever deal he gets next in his career, he's not going to be on the wage that he is at Arsenal. So if he was able to get another year, squeeze another year out of earning whatever it is that he's on, which is quite a substantial amount of money, I'd imagine he'd be probably quite content with that as well. It's another year in the Premier League. Yeah, I think that unless a mega offer comes in the summer from maybe a Saudi club or something like that, then I think you just let him run down his contract, because the money you're going to get in is going to be minimal. It really, really is. And people won't accept that and will maybe argue with me about that. But I really do believe that's the case. Right, let me take a couple of your questions that were sent over on X. The first one comes from Matt Randolph. Which team do you think will benefit the most? Tottenham from having 2 weeks rest following a bad result, or Arsenal, who have the momentum but could be suffering from some potential fatigue? Well, I think the fatigue thing is a thing, but I think if you can't find that bit of energy when you are chasing a title, then you never will. So I'd expect the players not to use that as an excuse. We've already highlighted that we've got some good options from the bench that can help us freshen it up. And if you go back to the game against Chelsea, we did manage to take a few players off around about the 70th minute mark and give them a bit of a breather and a bit more recovery time ahead of this one. So I'm not going to use that as an excuse. Unless I watch them play and think, my God, physically, we're not at the level, then I'm not going to be bringing that up. John Knott says, should the Merseyside derby be a warning for our players to make sure that we turn up and play? Absolutely. A derby is a derby and anything can happen. I would argue that Liverpool went into the Merseyside derby in a worse state than we're going into the North London derby, but it is a warning sign. You're right that we should be taking this game very, very seriously. And I'm sure the guys are. I'm sure they are. Okay, in terms of my prediction for this one, I'm going to go for Tottenham Hotspur 0, Arsenal 2. That is my prediction. So I fancy Arsenal to go out there and win. I'm hoping they go out there and win. I think we're certainly good enough to do it. I'm hoping that we have a bit of a rub of the green on the day and we get the result that we desperately need as we chase this Premier League title. Oh, man. The more I talk about it, the more nervous I get. Big thank you to everybody for tuning in, as always. We'll be back on Sunday night with some reaction to the North London derby. Whatever the outcome, So make sure you join me for that. Fingers crossed we're talking about a victory. I'm going to be at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium tomorrow. I'm part of the BBC London Sport commentary team, part of the team bringing you the game, the build-up, all the rest of it, which is exciting. Looking forward to that. It might be a welcome distraction for me as well. Thinking about work a little bit does help you not worry about the nerves. At least once you're at the ground anyway, when you know that you've got to do this by this time and you've got deadlines, et cetera, et cetera. But thanks to everybody for joining me. Really, really do appreciate it. And we will be back tomorrow, as I say. Don't forget, if you're listening on audio, please do leave us a review. If you're watching us on YouTube, subscribe to the channel. Leave a like on the video. All of that stuff really, really does help. And I've got some really exciting news about the Chronicles of Aguna that is almost at the point where I can tell you. I've been doing some work in the background because I want to take some next steps with this thing. And I feel like we've got the subscriber base across, obviously, YouTube and the audio platforms at the moment to do this, to make it work. I'm not going to tell you exactly what it is yet, but I'm hoping in the next couple of weeks I'll be able to give you the full download. Really, really exciting times. But that's only been possible, or it's only possible, hopefully it gets over the line, because of you guys and how amazing you've been in terms of your support, the interaction, all the rest of it. Can't wait to share, hopefully, some very good news with you in the next couple of weeks or so. Up the Arsenal. Come on, you Gunners. Catch you all soon. Until the next one, take care of yourselves. Have a great Saturday.